The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour I'm going to be reading to you from various things, mainly probably the AARP Bulletin for January-February 2018. And our programming today is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. Now, the cover article for the AARP Bulletin this issue is Great Second Careers, How They Did It and How You Can Too. You are part of a revolution. You are among the first generation of Americans who routinely change careers after 50. The centuries-old pattern to work at the same job or profession right up to retirement is becoming obsolete. In its place, a career path marked by new jobs, new starts, even new businesses, continuing for as long as you have a passion for work. The proof is in the data. For example, one study shows that 40% of people working at age 62 had changed careers since they turned 55. Then there are your actual stories. For 6 months, the editors at the AARP Bulletin searched America to find ordinary people who have done extraordinary things with their second careers. What we learned: when people stay true to their passions and set their hearts and minds to it, new careers can take off at any age. Some provide large financial rewards. Others simply supplement pensions and Social Security checks, but pay off big in terms of fulfillment, pride, and satisfaction. How did they do it? And can you do it too? We set out to answer those questions in the pages ahead. You'll find 16 stories of people who reinvented their careers after age 50 and found deeper joy and satisfaction as a result. You'll also discover their secrets of success and advice to help you find your own path toward the best possible work for you. For more stories and ideas, go to aarp.org/secondcareers. Now, that's from Robert Love, who is editor-in-chief of the AARP Bulletin. The first one here, Dog Walker, $40,000 a year, turned her joy into profits. This is Sari Reese, age 68, home San Diego, previous life organizational trainer. Why she did it? I have always had a huge passion for animals. Nonprofit organizations did not pay enough, and neither did veterinary practices, so I decided to start my own business. How she succeeded. I looked into pet sitting and dog walking by contacting different companies in the area, emailing each, and asking to meet for coffee. I met with several of them, and they gave me great advice on what the public was looking for in a sitter. I got insurance and pet first aid certified, and I joined Pet Sitters International, a trade group that provides education on animals and information on how to set up a pet sitting business. I made my own website and handed out my business card at pet-friendly apartments and condos, as well as to dog groomers. After a few months, I got my first client, and I was ecstatic. Today, I have 5 employees and a business that brings in $165,000 a year and growing. What you need to know. You won't get clients overnight, so be proactive and positive and don't give up. You have to knock on doors, be outgoing and self-confident. Build a website for your business and be willing to self-promote. If you're successful enough to need help, be sure to hire people who are passionate, flexible, communicative, and tech-savvy. Next, organic farmers, $100,000 in sales per year. Grew a new farm. This is Nikki Auschnitt, 72, and Steve Krieg, 65. They are in Yorkville, California. In their previous life, Nikki was a visual artist and Steve was an attorney. how they did it. We sold the surplus from our kitchen garden to the farmer's market. Then we got serious about going commercial. What they learned. Produce we couldn't sell would often go to waste. This taught us the value of adding preserved foods like jams. What you need to know. Financial planning is very important. We pay employees and cover most costs, but live off other income. Okay, here's an inventor who makes $100,000 a year and invented a new life. This is Sandy Stein, age 66, whose home is Los Angeles. In her previous life, she was a flight attendant. How she did it. I had been a flight attendant for 33 years. One night I had a vivid dream about how to invent a new product that would decorate the outside of a handbag while preventing keys from getting lost. The next morning I fashioned a rough prototype. How she succeeded. I invested $130,000 and ordered 200,000 units. With a sales squadron of flight attendants doing multi-level marketing, my concept took off. What you need to know. As an entrepreneur, you've got to turn on a dime as the business changes. Next, here is a museum CEO who became a steward of history. Her name is Andrea L. Taylor. She's age 70, and she makes $100,000 a year. Her home is Birmingham, Alabama, and her previous life was as a corporate philanthropist for Microsoft. How she did it. I contacted a search consultant about applying for a media position. He told me about another position he was looking to fill. I never imagined myself as a CEO of the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, but I told him I was interested. What she learned. This job involves growing membership and the institute's profile. What you need to know. Say yes to new challenges. The interviewers here were intrigued that someone my age would be interested in the job. I keep going by being flexible and by never burning bridges. Next, we have an EMS manager and air rescue specialist who's making $53,000 a year. He learned to save those in peril. This is Dick Sein, age 66, from Big Fork, Montana. In his previous life, he was in law enforcement. Why he did it. I'd long dreamed of becoming a park ranger. Glacier National Park hired me on as a summer ranger. My year-round job is emergency medical services manager for my county, keeping track of 350 EMTs, tracking their training, monitoring drug inventories, and more. How he did it. I went back to college for EMS training and became state licensed as a critical care advanced skills paramedic. I studied anatomy, pharmacology, and more. Now, during the park's off season, I hang underneath a helicopter on a cable to reach those in need. What you need to know. Don't let the thought of more education or training deter you. The joy of having a pension is doing what you want to do, not what you have to do to pay the bills. Now, here's Bill Petrie, 74, and Linda Petrie, 70, who are now innkeepers making $160,000 a year. They found room at the inn. Their home is Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and in their previous life, Bill was a Lutheran pastor and Linda was a consumer science teacher. Why they did it. Staying at bed and breakfast inns as we honeymooned in New England, we would often muse that running an inn might be fun after we retired. 20 years later, our youngest child was preparing for college. We started asking ourselves what we were going to do with the rest of our lives. I told Linda that if we were ever going to do the B&B thing, I didn't want to start it at 75. How they did it. You need a location that attracts regular visitors. College towns are good options. It took us 18 months of searching to find the right place, a home in the Susquehanna River Valley, about 160 miles northwest of Philadelphia. This was formerly a private home, so we had to navigate zoning meetings. We began stripping wallpaper, planting beds and window boxes, and doing countless other do-it-yourself projects. Linda began making window treatments and testing recipes. Now she's known locally as the Breakfast Lady. What you need to know? At some point you may suffer anxiety when you realize something that was once a pipe dream is becoming real. Breathe deep and keep going. Now, here's an attorney making $25,000 to $30,000 a year who pursued the law. Christopher Owen, 65, from Las Vegas, was an electrician in previous life. Why he did it? My father always wanted me to be a lawyer. I wondered if, at age 58, I was too old to try it. How he did it. I found out where the LSAT was being given, studied for it, and took it. I did well enough on the test to get admitted. I attended Whittier Law. I was older than all but one of my professors, but I joined an elder society and my peers helped. I passed the Nevada bar and set up office with a lawyer friend. What you need to know. My school loans are about $200,000. I set up a minimum payment plan that works with my income. Now, here's a flight attendant making $38,000 a year, and she has traveled afar. This is Venetia Clark, age 58, from Frankfort, Illinois. And in her previous life, she was a pharmacist. How she did it. In 2014, I was ready to retire as a pharmacist. I had a couple of friends who were flight attendants, and they suggested I apply. I thought, they're not going to hire someone as old as me. But one did. I know for a fact that it was my experience in customer service that helped me stand out. If you're bilingual, that can really help. What she learned. The training is very rigorous. You start with eye and hearing exams, then go through firefighting training, first aid, self-defense, and more. What you need to know. Attendants start at about $20,000, but the income can go up to about $80,000, and you can't beat the benefits. Now, here's a skincare entrepreneur making $100,000 a year named Cynthia Besteman, age 52, from New York. In her previous life, she was a real estate broker, but she took a natural path. Why she did it? At age 46, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. After my treatment, I vowed to clean up everything in my life that wasn't healthy. I researched what was in my skincare, sulfates and other chemicals that can act as endocrine disruptors. I was shocked. How she succeeded. I enrolled in classes and began learning how to make natural cosmetics and work with plant-based mixtures. 2 years after my diagnosis, I was ready for market. Today, the line is available online at Anthropology, and I donate skincare products to those undergoing cancer treatments. What you need to know. The darkest period of your life may reveal a brilliant, beautiful gift. My cancer led me to found a business I'm passionate about. Now, here's a geriatrician and physician making $250,000 a year who didn't accept no for an answer. She is Christiane Bishop, age 67, from Lodi, California, who in her previous life was a court reporter. Why she did it? I wanted to become a doctor, but I was advised that few applicants over 30 were accepted to medical school. I graduated from a physical therapy program at age 41. 2 years working in that field only made me more determined to become a doctor. How she succeeded. I graduated from medical school at 48 and was told I was too old to survive the 100-hour work weeks required of a resident. At 58, as I applied for fellowships, the other residents shook their heads. What you need to know. Ignore the naysayers and decide for yourself if you're too old. Here's a personal trainer making $30,000 a year who followed his love for fitness. His name is Tony DaCosta. He's 67, and his home is Cape Coral, Florida. In his previous life, he was a media professional. How he did it. In my early 60s, my career in media came to a premature end. After a period of reassessment, I decided to pursue my lifelong passion for fitness and become a certified personal trainer. As one who has personally dealt with the requirements of training a body in its golden years, I had an understanding of the unique nature of fitness for older adults. How he succeeded. You need to be in shape yourself in order to inspire your trainees. Since my 60th birthday, I've entered a variety of master's competitions. Though that level of fitness isn't necessary to look good or be fit. It's not hard to get a certification. Several online companies can help. But you will need insurance, especially if you want to work for a club. What you need to know. The right location is critical. With a demographic mix even older than the rest of Florida, the island of Sanibel is the perfect spot to find a clientele of people age 50-plus who are concerned with staying fit. With low startup costs and minimal time expenditure, my income, plus Social Security and other gigs, provides just what I need to maintain a decent living. Now, here's a franchise store owner who hasn't made any salary in his first year, but he has invested in a proven concept. His name is Miguel Escobar, and he's 59, and he lives in Cypress, Texas. In his previous life, he was an oil industry product manager. Why he did it? My department was restructured in a downsizing. As I revised my CV and contemplated marketing myself as a 58-year-old, I also attended a seminar on entrepreneurship. I thought all the hard work I'd have to do to restart my career could be used to benefit my own project. What he learned. The franchise concept appealed to my wife and me. We were buying into a proven business concept that would limit some of the risk. The franchisor, Pinch a Penny Pool, Patio, and Spa, helped us select the market area and helps with marketing and advertising design. We're living on savings now, but our future income depends on our hard work. What you need to know. Select a franchise that complements skills you acquired in your previous career. Franchising allows boomers like us to start a business without having to build it from scratch. Now, here's a sailboat captain who's making $52,000 a year, who has charted a new course for himself. His name is Bill O'Donovan. He's 70, and he lives in Williamsburg, Virginia. He used to be a newspaper publisher. Why he did it. After 42 years with the Virginia Gazette newspaper, I was laid off at age 65. Fortunately, part of my job was to schmooze advertising clients and news sources, and I did that by taking them sailing on my boat on the York River. I was spending more than 100 days a year on the water, and that just happened to be what I needed to get Coast Guard certification and start sailing professionally. How he succeeded. I printed up brochures and took out ads in the local papers, but what really helped was setting up a blog on my website. That helps with Google searches. Through my blogs and TripAdvisor, I've grown the business rapidly. What you need to know. What matters is business strategy. I studied other sailing businesses, then copied their best practices. Next, we've got a park ranger making $15,000 a year. This is Dale, I don't know how to pronounce his name, K-L-C-O, Kelso, shall we say. He is age 68, and his home is Hobie Sound, Florida. In his previous life, he was an electrician. How he did it. Don't be afraid to start by volunteering. At the Hobie Sound National Wildlife Refuge and Nature Center, I assisted in animal care and as a docent. When there was a job opening, my manager encouraged me to apply. What he does. I collect visitor fees, and at Hobie Sound, I patrol in an ATV. I educate visitors about shore dynamics, ecology, and about the sea turtles and shorebirds that nest here. During nesting season, a team guides people onto the beach at night to observe female loggerhead turtles filling their nest chambers. What you need to know. It's been an adjustment transitioning from private industry to the bureaucratic constraints of the government. But between savings, Social Security, and my earnings, I'm doing great. Now, here's a fellow who is founder of the Cowboy Cauldron Company, which is earning him $120,000 a year. He cooked up a new business and watched it grow. This is Mike Bertelson, age 57, from Salt Lake City. In his previous life, he was a lobbyist and television producer. How he did it. Make something for yourself that other people want to own. We lived in Virginia, right by Mount Vernon. One year they decorated the estate with a brazier full of coals for their Christmas celebration. My wife said, we should do something like that. I started to play with the design, and the next thing you know, we had a cauldron. How he succeeded. When my old college buddies saw my cauldron, they said, hey, I want one. I agreed to make a couple more. Then one day I got a call from New Jersey. Hey, you the cauldron guy? So I figured out how to ship one to New Jersey, and it just kind of got out of hand. What you need to know. If you're serious about starting a business, pick something you care about. I love entertaining, and the Cowboy Cauldron creates that kind of environment. And make sure you have a financial plan. The cost of making something should be about 34% of what you can sell it for. Look hard at the competition and seek out legal and accounting advice right at the beginning. Now, here's a nurse who makes $70,000 a year who transferred some of his key skills. His name is Robert McManus. He's 63 and he lives in Lexington, South Carolina. In his previous life, he was a lab chemist in the hazardous waste industry. Why he did it? One morning driving to work, I suddenly decided to give nursing a shot. I gave notice the moment I walked in the door and applied to nursing programs at two universities the same day. How he succeeded. As a new student, I had to catch up on subjects like anatomy, physiology, microbiology, and pathophysiology. To bring in money, I unloaded trucks at 3 a.m. What you need to know. Don't underestimate how many skills from your previous work, like problem solving, are transferable. I was surprised how well I understood the circulatory system. The heart is a pump. In my work as a hazardous waste manager, I'd operated plenty of them. Let AARP help you find a job. These resources can help you search successfully. Job board. Search by occupation and location, then apply online. Over 400 employers list jobs. Go to jobs.aarp.org. Online career fairs. Job seekers can apply for jobs and ask questions of potential employers. Go to aarp.org/part-time work fair. In-person workshops. Learn how to network, ace an interview, and create a winning elevator pitch. Go to aarptek.aarp.org/workshops. Great jobs for everyone 50 plus. AARP's updated book helps you find work that keeps you happy and pays the bills. Go to aarp.org/great jobs. Employer Pledge Program. More than 500 companies have pledged to recognize the value of older workers and recruit across diverse age groups. Find them at aarp.org/employer-pledge. Start a business. Get practical advice on how to launch and market a business and more. Go to aarp.org/50+, that's 50+, entrepreneurship. Now, they also add a couple of pointers about things to look out for, second career pitfalls as you're looking for your new life. Here are four common missteps when launching your next career or business. There's no right way to launch a second career, says Marcy Alberher, vice president at Encore.org and author of the Encore Career Handbook. But there are several wrong ways. Here are some common missteps you'll need to avoid. Pitfall 1, you budget unrealistically. You wouldn't take a dream vacation without a plan to pay for it. Look at your career journey in the same way. Make sure you fund your transition time, Alberher says. Assume it'll take at least 6 months. If you have financial wiggle room, everything will be easier. Pitfall 2, you panic early. I freaked out at month 3 of my own transition to a freelance life, even though I'd budgeted for a year-long transition, and I took a full-time job that didn't align with what I wanted to do. Luckily, I was smart enough to correct my mistake before it was too late. Take a test-and-learn approach, Alberher advises. Don't expect this to be a linear process. It almost always takes longer than you think. Assume every detour will teach you something and potentially lead you where you need to be. Pitfall 3, you used to be somebody. Don't undersell who you've been, Alberher says. At the same time, don't get attached to it. The sooner you start living in your new world, the sooner you'll make connections that propel you forward. If you're moving to a less powerful position because it provides more flexibility, admit it. Pitfall 4. You're a closed book. The world moves fast. If you want to succeed, especially in a new industry, you'll need to keep up and show up, both in person and online. You don't want to come across as old school, Alberher says. It's important to demonstrate a curiosity, a hunger for learning. Show your relevancy. Now we've got a few minutes left. I'm going to read you a poem by poet Robert Morgan, who was born in Hendersonville, but he's taught for many years at Cornell. This is from the book called The Language They Speak is Things to Eat. It's an anthology of North Carolina poets, edited by Michael McPhee, published by UNC Press in 1994. And this poem by Robert Morgan is called Vietnam War Memorial. What we see first seems a shadow or a retaining wall in the park, like half a giant pool or half an exposed foundation. The names start a few to the column at the shallow ends and grow panel by deeper panel as though month by month to the point of opposing planes. From that pit you can't see much official Washington, just sky and trees and names and people on the mall and the Capitol like a fancy urn. For this is a wedge into the earth, a ramp of names driven into the nation's green, a black mirror of names, many as the text of a book published in stone, beginning almost imperceptibly in the lawn on one side and growing on black pages bigger than any reader. And as you look for your own name in each chapter, and then thin away like a ledger into turf again, with no beginning, no end, as though the black wall uncovered here a few rods for sunlight and recognition runs on and on through the ground in both directions with all our names on the hidden panels, while these names shine in the open noon. We'll end with a little poem by Jonathan Williams, the late Jonathan Williams, a noted writer and raconteur and publisher. This is called Miss Lucy Morgan Shows Me a Photograph of Mrs. Mary Grindstaff Spinning Wool on the High Wheel. This is from the same anthology. Miss Lucy tells that one day a visitor asked Mrs. Grindstaff, "What are you doing?" She said, "Spinning." The tourist said, "Why doesn't it break?" She said, "Because I don't let it." The charred heart does not break in Appalachia. They have not let it. The loom hums there. And that has just about taken up our time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope you'll come back and listen next week and that you've enjoyed this. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And this programming today is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired, and this broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at triangleredingservice.org.